In this episode of the Leader Smith podcast, I want to talk about innovation and how to think like an innovator. Stay tuned.
In a world of incompetent bosses, micromanagers, and petty tyrants, one management professor claims that he can help you become the kind of leader that you would want to follow. You are listening to The Leader Smith. Now, here is your host, Darren Gurdis.
Okay, so I want to talk about how to think like an innovator. In my classes, I talk about this in the third chapter of my textbook. We're talking about innovation, and I give some examples. But, you know, have you ever wondered, like, where did Sony go, like, in the race for technology? Like, it used to be, Sony was the leader in electronics. And what happened? The ground shifted. Or where did Blockbuster go? They used to be everywhere. McDonald's are still here, but Blockbuster took, you know, they're gone. So what'll happen as we move forward? What'll happen to major media companies? I think you can predict it. If you know what happened to Sony and Blockbuster, you can start to see what's happening or what's going to happen in major media. So let's talk about this. So creativity drives innovation. There's no question about that. But innovation isn't just a new product. It has to be marketed. It has to be adopted, and it has to be sold. It is the primary issue within business. Peter Drucker said, because the purpose of business is to create a customer, the business enterprise has two and only two basic functions: marketing and innovation. Marketing and innovation produce results. All the rest are costs. Marketing is the distinguishing, unique function of the business. That was Peter Drucker. He's a pretty smart guy. Okay, so again, in my text, I'd say, you know, what happened to Sony? And I give this example of the Walkman. Now, I remember having a Walkman. And when I was a teenager, I put a cassette tape in. This is kind of dating myself, but I put a cassette tape in, put my earplugs on. I was golden. I had whatever it was that I wanted to listen to. I could pre-program that. Now, a little while later, it improved. It went to the Sony Discman. And so I'd be at the gym with this huge, like, 6-inch round, circle in my pocket, in my sweatpants, hoping it doesn't fall out. But I'm still listening to my tunes, and it's better quality. So what happened? The iPod happened. Apple came in and challenged Sony, and they came in and challenged them in such a way that Sony just couldn't keep up, because Sony was beholden to what had come before. So the iPod comes in and it's saying, hey, instead of your tape or your CD that you're listening to, how about 1,000 songs in your pocket? And to do this, they went digital. So now they changed the rules of the game. And Sony couldn't keep up, because Sony was beholden to those plastic discs that they were selling. They were selling like in catalogs, hey, buy one and get 9 free Sony catalog CDs, and in order to get people to subscribe to their catalog of CDs. So Sony was beholden to what had come before, and they couldn't see what was happening in the future. And so Apple came along, flanked them, and now owns the business. Now, let's talk about a different market. Apple or the iPhone is for the music that you listen to in your car. You probably don't even have an iPod anymore. You probably listen to it on your phone, okay? But you download your songs most likely from Apple. They were the leader. But Amazon jumped in. They got into it, and Amazon has music, Google has music, and iTunes has music. But iTunes was a leader. Apple jumps in, and Apple jumps in a very different way. They give away lots of music for free with Amazon Prime. But then in 2018, I noticed something really interesting. They jumped in headlong into this market, not to challenge directly, not to challenge. They didn't come out and create an iPhone, an Apple version of iPhone, and try to compete that way. No, no, no. They came out and challenged where you're going to listen to it. So if you have your phone in your pocket, you can listen to your music anywhere. But when you're at home cooking or whatever, and you want to do it, you say, Alexa, play whatever it is that you want to play. And Alexa will start playing your music if you have Amazon Prime. And why would you go somewhere else to get your music when you could get it right away from Amazon Prime? So they jumped in a big way. Google tried to get into this market too. In fact, in 2019, the following year, they heavily marketed their Google Home. It's a similar thing to Alexa, but they were already lagging with that. So you can get your music from wherever you want to get it. But Apple was the first, and then it was hard to beat that leader. So Amazon jumped in with a whole different way. They kind of flanked them in the way that they were approaching this. Okay, so it's a different market, and Google's lagging behind in that market. Let's shift gears and talk about videotapes. When I was in junior high school, we had videotapes that first came out, and I had a VCR. And first VCR cost like $1,000. I mean, it's mind-blowing now, because you can get a VCR you can't even get a VCR anymore. You can get a DVD player for like $35 now. And DVD players are kind of on their way out. So the first VCR, it was just mind-blowing, $1,000. I remember the first videotape store in my town. It was directly on my path home between junior high and where my house was. And I'd walk past it, and I remember thinking like, wow, a $99 a year membership or $1,000 for lifetime membership. How awesome would it be to have lifetime membership? I could get, you know, videotapes for life. Not thinking that they're going to be out of business in 3 years, because they were kind of a new entrepreneurial service, and that happens. Mercifully, I didn't throw down $1,000. Okay, so the VCR, but over time you saw the videotape be displaced by DVDs. Now, at that same time, Blockbuster had become a chain of videotape rentals or video disc rentals over time. And we all kind of begrudgingly held our nose and went to Blockbuster because you knew you could get the movie even if you overpaid for it. And you knew, heavens help you, if you're late, because your late fees at Blockbuster are like, they're terrible. I mean, that's worse than actually getting the video to begin with. And so we all kind of hated Blockbuster because of that. It was just, I remember when I was in graduate school, there was this discount video store. They had 49-cent rentals. That was awesome. Like, you know, two for a dollar. And then if you wanted to get the new ones, yeah, you'd have to pay a little bit more. But I love that video store. Okay. I hated the late fees, and the late fees were low. I could get cheap rentals. So we all hated Blockbuster. They were overpriced, but they were the only game in town. Until Redbox. And so Redbox came along, and instead of competing with a huge store, they competed with a small kiosk. Now, Redbox was smart. They were owned by McDonald's. So McDonald's, they're not in the hamburger business. They're in the real estate business. They're looking for to own the real estate on the right corners, and they just happen to sell hamburgers. They applied that same philosophy to Redbox, and they got Redboxes in very local places all over the place. And Redbox now started becoming some significant competition to Blockbuster, and Blockbuster couldn't sustain itself. Redbox sold itself off. McDonald's sold Redbox off in 2009, I believe. And again, Redbox was comparatively cheap compared to Blockbuster. They were everywhere, and you could return it wherever you wanted. So they're competing on a different ground, convenience. And then came in a new competitor, Netflix. So in 2007, think about what's going on here. You'd have to get up and go to the store, but hey, you got Redbox that's cheaper and it's closer. But now Netflix comes along, and Netflix says, hey, you don't even have to get off your butt. You can online order the video that you want, and we will send it to you in the mail. Wow, we'll send it to you in the mail. And so now you don't even have to go anywhere, and they're not even charging you late fees. You just hang on to that CD as long as your heart desires, or that DVD as long as your heart desires. Well, I can hold on to this for a whole month, and I'm not getting any extra charges. It's great. And then they converted from there to streaming. And so Netflix just became, you know, it blew up. And when they went to streaming, it totally changed, kind of like the conversion of the DVD or the CD to the with the iPhone to streaming online. Same kind of process again. And then you had other competitors that joined in with Hulu and Amazon Prime and YouTube TV, and they even converted the cable industry. I would hate to be an owner of the old style cable company that is, come wiring the cable into your house. What a terrible, terrible business to be in. Now, they're smart. They're converting over to a streaming service like through Hulu and other things along those lines because they have to, because their old model is dying. Okay. But now you have Hulu and Amazon Prime and YouTube TV. And if you want to go down market, Sling. Now, Sling is smart because it stayed down market cheap. That's where Hulu and YouTube TV started out. They started at like $30, $25, something like that. And now they're at $50 again. But they're at $50 again because they're trying to compete with each other for originals, Netflix originals, Prime originals. Sling stayed out of it and they're down market. That's where I am because I'm cheap. Okay. Let's keep going. Conversion of specialty kind of media as well. So now you have little subgroups like CBS All Access started it, right? CBS All Access got into it and said, hey, if you want our stuff, you can just spend another $5 a month and you can have our entire catalog. Disney went, wait a minute, we're Disney. We have a much better catalog. So they charged twice as much. And now we have that as an add-on and they're making a fortune that way. Okay, so my question to you is, what will happen in the media moving forward? Now that you understand what happened to these companies, and you can kind of see how when they're challenged obliquely, they're not challenged usually head on, they're challenged obliquely. What will happen to the media? We have newspapers, we have radio and TV. We already talked about TV a little bit, but newspapers. Newspapers, how do you stay in that business? I mean, how do you fund it? Who reads the old newspaper anymore? Now, you can have ad revenue from clicks on the screen, but that's not really sustaining the deep investigative journalism. So now you have online reading, and then you have an alternative like Wall Street Journal still tries to do a subscription model, and I don't know how long that's going to work. But the major papers, New York Times, Wall Street Journal, Washington Post, they have some staying power because they've been around for a while and they set the agenda for other media. But if you're in that media business, what do you have to look forward to? So here's what I'm saying. So when I was a kid on Saturday morning, I was telling my kids about this the other day and they were like, what? You could only get cartoons on Saturday morning? Yes, I could only get cartoons on Saturday morning, at least good cartoons. There were some PBS ones during the day that were terrible if you were homesick, but Saturday morning, that's where your cartoons were. They can't understand that because now they can walk in anytime and put on whatever cartoons their heart desires on demand. And that's the way that media has shifted. I remember when I was a kid, I was waiting for the Charlie Brown Christmas special and I was at my grandfather's house and he and I argued about, no, I want to watch Charlie Brown. No, I want to watch Lawrence Welk. How about that? Okay. And no, I want to watch Charlie Brown. No, Lawrence Welk. And we argued the entire time and missed both. Okay. Because you could only, if you wanted to watch it, you had to have your butt in front of that TV at that time. It's no longer like that. It's all on demand. So that's where the media is going. So we now have, you can stream anything on Roku or Amazon Fire Stick or Xbox. And again, that's why I would hate to be a cable company. Radio is moving the same direction. And so what you see with radio, what radio used to be, it was very finite. It was used up. You're listening to it maybe in your car on the way home. But now you have things like podcasts, and podcasts are on demand. You can listen to it anytime that you want. And that's the way that things are going. So if you were going to bet on, do I want to buy this radio stock? Maybe not, because there's so much competition now and so much fragmentation within the industry that you just see such change. And I'm not sure that I would want to buy a radio station. Okay, last thing, changes even from, say, COVID, right? What changed with COVID? We used to go to work, and now if you can telecommute, you go home, you know, once we got to the quarantine. So you'd stay at home, and then instead of going to the store, you would go pick up your groceries at Walmart, and somebody would stick it in your trunk, or you would order things on Amazon. And instead of going to a restaurant, you may take some takeout, but you're not actually going to sit in there during the quarantine. And then maybe for a while thereafter, if you're paranoid about germs. And so there would be winners and losers as each of these things shift through all the examples that I gave you. So, for example, big winners were things like Zoom meetings. Wow. I mean, they did great. All those kind of businesses did wonderful. Amazon Prime. Homeschooling, even homeschooling, as opposed to sending your kids back into that germ-infested public school, homeschooling became a big thing. So, innovation, here's what I have to say. Innovation happens. It keeps happening. It always will happen. There will be churn, but it's not going to be, you know, this is the leader and they're always going to be the leader. Nope, there's going to be an oblique challenge, and the oblique challenge is going to supplant it by giving something else. Maybe it's convenience, maybe it's price, maybe it's a quality that you couldn't have before, but it's going to keep changing. Okay. So some things that we could never dream of before will be commonplace in 20 years. Okay. So that leads to our quotation for contemplation for today. And that is this. This is from William Blake, the poet. What is now proved was once only imagined. Hey, listen, thank you for listening to this podcast. I really appreciate it. I hope that helps you to think through how things change and will help you become the kind of leader that you want to follow. Thanks for listening.